Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
It's a great honor and privilege to be here this morning. I would like to give a special thanks to Diane. My computer died several weeks ago, and it's still being fixed downtown. By the university, who keeps promising me that they will give me a call and tell me how much it's going to cost. But even though my wife calls almost every day, no answer yet. So Diane received all the information for the bulletin as I texted and emailed it to her on my phone. So a great thank you. That was a hard job for her to do, so thank you so very much. Yes. The Lord did some other things by a broken computer. I don't have my sermon all typed out, and I won't be reading it off this morning, and because I have to make it really big so I can see it. I'm not sure I could write it that big. He has set a different spirit upon me this morning. Someone asked me this morning if I'm a fire and brimstone sort of preacher. And I said, well, normally, but not this morning, and I don't know why. In fact, I wanted to bring the message on the chapter that I've brought. Hebrews is my favorite New Testament book. Obviously, Romans, it would be next. It's so filled with humanity, filled with every manner. In fact, for the note takers, for the people who like to look at Scripture, get your pen out, because Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3 is about sin. So just write sin and write 1, 2, 3. Romans 4, 5, and 6 is about salvation. So sin and salvation. 6, 7, and 8 is about sanctification. That's that daily walk. Once God works in us, he declares us righteous, but then he works that peaceable fruit out in us. 57 years still going. I was 8 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I still remember at 5 sitting in the back of the North Windsor Baptist Church asking the Lord, as Reverend Nutter was preaching, that he would give me that opportunity one day. It was, and I say this to the ladies, it was Mrs. Emery at the Buxton Center Baptist Church who I thought I was a believer. I thought really everyone was. And she explained to me that there was a necessity to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior and to confess my sin and to ask for a home with him and to become his son. I am so grateful to that woman, because now, 50 years later, I know I'm going to spend eternity with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, women, extremely valuable. That's the most valuable thing that's ever been done in my life, salvation. The lady led me to Jesus. But a lot of people laid the groundwork. Reverend Nutter, my grandparents, who I'm sure I wouldn't have been primed for the gospel had I not heard it from them many, many times. So sin, salvation, sanctification, and my brother touched on it this morning. And God promised me that he would open up the truth of Romans, And he did it clearly through our brother this morning. I kept saying, God, what are you going to do? This passage has so much in it. He goes, George, you preach this. I'll take care of the rest. So Diane or whoever asked my two brothers to read the scripture and to the way they did and to expound on it, thank you very, very much. Because we live in a very, 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 very dark time. It is the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the time of the flood when God erased mankind off the earth and stuck us in an ark, our ancestors. We live in that kind of time. This is the darkest in my remembrance. I think it's darker than the Civil War because, you know, in the Civil War, they might have been fighting over slavery, but they still, both sides, believed Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. They were fighting over economics, but they weren't certainly fighting over whether God's word was the basis of our Constitution. They weren't fighting over that. They all got it. Today, we're fighting huge battles. We're fighting immorality like we've never fought before. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. 9, 10, and 11 is about suffering. And Paul does not tell us in 9, 10, and 11 to water down the word of God. In fact, if it takes our life, stand there. Take the bullet. Take the stake. Be like Wycliffe. You know, if Wycliffe hadn't translated the word of God for us, we'd all be blind, listening to Latin, not knowing what in the world the priests were talking about. And then when the priest told us, well, you want to go to heaven, give money. And we'd have just been forking over the dough for our brother or our mother or somebody. So they would go to heaven because the priest told us so. You know what? Be the Bereans. Search the scriptures and see if it's true. I shouldn't pick on Sophie, but I will. She'll tell you I'm always encouraging her to get in the Word on her own because her mom and her dad and me and her other people, she's almost 15. She's a big girl. She's brilliant. She's actually smarter in a lot of things. She'll bring home this stuff and she'll say, someone said this, and I said this, and I'm going, wow. I wouldn't have thought of that. I didn't tell her that yet, but I'm going, that's right. I'm going to write that down the next time somebody says that. I'm going to say that. Yeah, I'll give you credit. You know, my 15-year-old daughter says, stand. We are all. And it might not come as much while we're still kicking, but I'll tell you, it's going to come in Sophie's life. It's going to come in this young lady's life. If we're not like one of our founding fathers, Payne, I'm trying to think. I think his first name was Jonathan Payne. If we're not like him, if we leave the battle to our children, they have no hope. The die will be cast. We have to stand for Jesus Christ, his righteousness and the truth. We have to stand for the word of God in our Constitution. But that's not what the message is about this morning. The message is about 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. It's about service. And that's really what we're going to suffer. But Paul still tells us, therefore, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Well, I never saw a sacrifice as something that was looking better and better and better and better and better and trying to be as popular and popular and popular and popular and popular. A sacrifice is in, it gets its head cut off. You know, it gets its entrails ripped out. It gets boiled or it gets baked. That's a living sacrifice. Now, it does say living. So he doesn't really want us to, our goal is not to die. Our goal is to live. And this morning's message is about living. I'm not really good at this message this morning. This is my greatest sin. This is my besetting sin. I'm preaching on the thing that I fail most of all at. I'm ashamed. So if I become a little emotional, please forgive me. You know, I know men who have this besetting sin and women who have this besetting sin. Well, this is mine. And I've never, ever, ever preached on it. I avoid it like the plague because I can't do it. But I'm way better than I used to be. And I think that's why God's letting me preach on it. So, in Romans chapter 1, I need to put the glasses on so I can see. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time reading the word, but I always like to give a little something for everybody. And I know we have all manners of personalities and academic levels in this group. So Romans 1, 2, and 3 is? Romans 4, 5, and 6 is? Romans 6, 7, and 8 is? Romans 9, 10, and 11 is? Suffering? Suffering. Romans 12, it starts right at 1, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 is?
Service.
You can hang your life on that outline. I hung my ordination on that, and I don't remember who I stole that from. But they were so impressed. One of the men in my ordination was taught religion, and he was a chaplain at the Naval Academy. So I was very fortunate in Oregon to have the president of the seminary there and a couple of the teachers, and having missionaries from around the world, from different organizations, they grilled me for 5.5 hours. And so some of those things I still have in my pocket. and that's one of them. So if we look down at Romans chapter 1, he says in Romans 1, 7, grace to you and peace from God our Father. And that word, it's chi, alpha, rho, iota, sigma. Right there in verse 7, that is almost all of the New Testament books have grace, mercy, and peace, or have grace and mercy, or grace and peace. And it's important because we all understand grace. You are saved by grace through faith. So we all get this. But the message that I'm bringing this morning is the power of thanksgiving. So if we drop down to verse 21, and it says, "For even though they knew not God, they did not honor him as a God, or give him thanks." And it's who? Charis stason. What's that who stason hanging on? And all that does is define grace. It's hanging on the word grace. They did not give God grace. They did not praise him. As we talked about this morning, my brother was saying in the Westminster Confession, to glorify God forever and ever and enjoy Him. They did not give God grace. So God's thankful for us. My brother this morning, as he concluded his sermonette, and I loved it. You know, the Brethren Church, that's what they do. Two or three people bring a sermon. Well, one of them's got to be the right one. They don't confer beforehand, but it's amazing to see the Spirit of God bring those all together. He ended with what God thinks of us. So the message this morning is the power of thanksgiving. So how did the people that Paul's talking about wind up in the situation that our brother read about this morning? Because they did not thank God. I'm horrible at thanking God. But the more I thank God, the easier it gets. Which is my first point. The power of thanksgiving is because thanksgiving is the pathway to humility. Does God lift up the prideful? Does God lift up the arrogant? Does God lift up the people who don't need Him? No. God lifts up the humble. And thanksgiving is the pathway to humility. God, I have all this money. Thank you. But the other person, I've got all this money. I'm awesome. Kiss the ring. What do you suppose is going to happen to this person? What happened to the person in the New Testament? He says, oh, wow, I've got my barns full. So what am I going to do? I'm going to build another one. God said, you fool, I'm going to require your life tonight. And you will be an example to everybody. But this person says, thank you. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you have a dollar. If you're thankful for that dollar and you use it according to how He wants you to, I fail at that too. Okay, so everything I'm preaching on this morning, I fail at. And so don't feel special if you fail at one or all of these things too. God, I've got a dollar. Thank you. And the next day, I've got another dollar. Well, and then he reminds me, because I start feeling, wow, I got 20 bucks. And you can attach any number you want to that. It can be, I got 2 million bucks. Oh, you fool, I'm going to take it all away because you went over here and you thought it was you. But as long as you stay over here thanking God for what you have, for who you are, for your health, you want to stay healthy, you want to know the best ACA, keep thanking God for your health. Thank God for your food. You want to know how to... And I'm jumping ahead. I probably should. That's probably his plan. Yeah, it's perfect. It leads right to thanksgiving is protection from the enemy. Oh, no, I thought I had to have. Now, look, I'm a big gun person. But you know what? All the guns in the world aren't going to keep you from the enemy. They're not. Doesn't mean be a fool and not be able to protect yourself and your family and others. At the same time, know this, that God is the one who protects us. So you can have all the swords, you can have everything. It's not ultimately your protection. Thanksgiving now. Thanksgiving's going to protect you from the enemy. He hates Thanksgiving. Now, we won't get there yet. But so, you know, I'm over here and I'm not thankful for my mate. I can't find, you know, in fact, even though she might have all these things or he might have all these things, I'm just focusing. Oh, yeah, I just remembered my introduction. I went hunting. Well, God knew where to put it. I went hunting 2 weeks ago. And I'm on Facebook because I'm bored. And I got my glasses on. And I'm doing my little iPhone. I'm talking to my friend who's moose hunting in Alaska at the very same time. And I'm sending him pictures. Oh, I'm in this good spot. I've been scouting this one deer for 3 years. He's humongous. He's got this irregular rack that kind of looks like a moose rack. It is. It's like a gloves with almost no spike at all. Well, it's about 3:30. It's starting to get dark, and I look out there. Well, I look up. I hear him, and then I see him. He's like, ah, George isn't here. He doesn't know that this is my path. He hasn't figured it out. He's seen me every place else but here. So now I know, but you know what? My eyes were adjusted to this. And I also had these on. And in my nervousness, I could see him. And I said, well, wow, he's way out. He's way off the path. Now, where this is hundreds of acres, nothing around, nobody around. So I aimed just a little high. Boom. He ran over here. He stopped again. This is through really thick woods. Boom. Well, now he's arrogant. This guy really doesn't know how to do what he's supposed to do. He runs right towards me. Now he's, if I had my glasses on, he was probably this far away. If I had them off, I would have realized. But he looks three times as far away. And I'm shooting a 45-70 that's 500 grains, and it's going to drop like a foot and a half. So I shoot just above him. Missed him all three times. He jumps away going, huh, George knows where my path is. What was I doing? I wasn't focused on the right thing. I wasn't being attentive. I wasn't prepared. I'm like, okay, I've been sitting here for 7 hours. And so I'm going to play on my phone. And then when God finally did something that I've been praying for 4 years, yeah, I wasn't ready. Oops. You know, we have to be ready in season and out of season. And if we're looking at our mate's faults, if we're looking at our boss's faults, if we're looking at our own faults, you know, if I'm looking at my own faults, I can't see good in anybody else. If I'm looking at all of my garbage, I can't see all of God's goodness. I know I'm the king of it. I can finally brag about something. Not much to brag about. Because it's heartache. And it brings loneliness. It brings separation. Thankfulness heals everything. All of those things in Matthew chapter 26 that Jesus talks about. Well, how do you become meek? Well, thankfulness. It's grace. But it's our grace. See, it's not just his grace to us. And that's a good point. All our songs this morning talked about God's grace. They all talked about his mercy. They all talked about salvation. You see, because he who is forgiven much loves much. If you concentrate on how much, and I don't mean concentrate on your failures, but on the forgiveness Okay, I failed. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for forgiveness. Not constantly, I failed. That's really not humility. That's pride. Yeah, it is. Because I'm not focusing. Humility is focusing on His forgiveness. Someone could make the case this morning that I'm over-focusing on my own failure on Thanksgiving. I'm taking the fact that I want people to understand anybody and everybody fails. And no matter how good you are at it, you can be better at thankfulness. You can. You can never thank God enough. Amen. So, it's a pathway to humility. It's protection from the enemy. Why? Because if I'm grateful, if I'm a man, so I'm grateful for my wife, if I wasn't grateful for my wife, I'd probably be looking elsewhere. If I wasn't grateful for my job, not wrong to change jobs, okay? It's okay, I'm not saying that, don't hear that. Okay, but when you stay there and make everybody else miserable and your boss and your wife and your kids and yourself, then you're not thankful. Look, thankfulness brings peace in adversity. That's Romans 9, 10, and 11. We're suffering, give thanks. You mean give thanks for suffering? Hey, look, you don't want to despair. You don't want to be in depression? Give thanks. The first point was it's the pathway. I've never been on a path where the beginning and end was right here. Wouldn't be a path, would it? Then it would be like the corner in the room the teacher has me standing in it. I've done that a few times. The pathway. Now, I'm not talking about a rut. And if it is a rut, it's a good rut. You know what a grave is? It's a rut with both ends kicked out. So I'm not asking you to dig a grave. I'm asking you to make a ridge. Because when you're on the ridge, you can see everything on either side. And you can see all the goodness. God commanded Moses to send the people into the land. And some people just saw the big, huge giants. But Joshua and Caleb, they were on the ridge, man. They're looking down and they're going, see, the other people got up and, oh, they're giants, they're huge. The other people got up on the ridge and they're looking, wow. They're on the mountaintop. They're with Jesus in our understanding. They can look out and see the land's flowing with milk and honey. You know what? Our land is flowing with milk and honey. You see what's on the television? It's horrible. We don't even have to look on the television. Just walk downtown Portland. People with messed up lives. You know what? It's probably their parents. It could be their grandparents. It could even be their great-grandparents' fault. Their grandparents, their parents. It can be their fault. Guess what? They can choose to either stay there or not. And that's where God calls us as a family to come around them and help them as much as possible. As much as they're willing to receive. Having worked with those people many times, they're not always willing to receive. And that's not what this message is about. It's about the pathway to humility, protection from the enemy, peace and adversity. And finally, thanksgiving is the prerequisite to success. It is. Because those who humble himself, he raises up. He raises up the humble. He gives grace to the brokenhearted. If I have thanksgiving in my life, I have humility. Oh, there's one prerequisite met. I've guarded from the enemy. I'm kept by the Lord Jesus through thanksgiving. It's just one of his means of grace. Have peace in adversity. So think of the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Who doesn't want more of those? I believe, and I'll exhort you to search the Scriptures. Obviously, you need to be saved to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But for the Spirit of God, for those fruits to be released in your life, thankfulness is the key. I want love. Be thankful that I receive love. Be thankful for those who love me. Be thankful that I can give love. I want joy. Be thankful. I want peace. Be thankful. I want patience. Be thankful for the trial. Wow. Comes in. It's not always like that. I know. And we can talk about that some other time. I think we all understand the importance of thanksgiving. None of us want to find ourselves in the rest of the chapter of Romans. None of us want our worst enemy to be in the rest of the chapter of Romans as it develops. I can't think of anybody that I want there. He has given us good hearts. We're saints. He declared us saints when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Give thanks. Give thanks. It'll infect your workplace. Examples of where thankfulness has worked in my own personal life in the workplace, and how it's healed relationships, how it sometimes frustrates people. Thankfulness is the pathway to the blessings of God. Bow with me. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message. As John comes forward and we sing, give thanks, I pray, God, that you would burn this on our hearts. We all know it's the truth. We ask that you'd make us all more successful at it, and that we would all take, whether it's baby steps or giant steps, we would focus, we would remember the need, that we would remember in that moment of temptation, in that moment of adversity, in that moment of pride, in all of those moments, we would remember that our grace back to you is what's going to seal our relationship so that we experience the abundant life that you want us to have. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.